And now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, our lesson today takes us into chapter 2. The Gospel according to John, chapter 2. Now I want to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Blessed God, we acknowledge Thee again as the God in whom we live and move and have our being. The very breath in our nostrils comes from Thee. Thou art the giver of every good and every perfect gift. So Thou hast taught us our dependence upon Thee for all matters. And so we do pray at this time that Thy blessing may rest upon Thy people everywhere. Especially remember those who are listening to this broadcast now. May this message reach their hearts, and grant, O God, that the Lord shall be glorified in it all. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as we continue then with our study in the Gospel according to John, we come to chapter 2. Now, this chapter is a combination of ministry. First in Galilee in the north, then in Jerusalem in the south. Moving from the domestic sphere with its difficulties to the religious sphere with its corruptions and hypocrisies. But today our attention is drawn to the domestic sphere. We have Christ's miracle at the marriage. When we come to the closing part of this chapter, it will be Christ's teaching in the temple. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to step into the domestic sphere and meet the needs of the home. That really is where Christianity begins. He is also able to step into the religious circle and put matters right there. Today we're taken into the home. And the chapter begins by telling us this. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, here we are faced, may I suggest, with the meaning of the divine institution. Marriage is the beginning of a joint effort for mutual good and happiness for all who are involved, both the parents and the children. It must have been a blessed day in the life history of Adam when God brought Eve to Adam and presented her to the man who was to be her husband. Adam could look upon Eve and say, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called Eve. And there we learn a great truth away back there in the book of Genesis, for God instituted marriage at the very beginning. Adam had no difficulty whatever in finding his partner, for it was God who brought Eve to Adam. But in these days in which we live, it's a wonderful thing, the instincts that God has placed in the heart of men and women. There comes a time when children grow up, they become mature in many ways, and the day comes when each one is looking for a partner in life. This, of course, is the ideal. God never sanctions immorality. God frowns on that which is contrary to his moral standards. But it is perfectly in order, and marriage is honorable, when a young man or a young woman reaches the age of responsibility and maturity, then they can become partners in life. And when these two set up home, remember this, it is to be for the mutual good and happiness of all who are involved. It's not only for the benefit of one, it's the benefit of both of them and the children who may come along as a result of that marriage. Again, I remind you that marriage is honorable. And here in this particular chapter, Christ Jesus graced with his presence this marriage in Galilee. It will be a blessed thing for any marriage when the contracting parties have a common attachment and love for the Lord. I don't know who the happy couple was that day, whether it was they who sent out the invitation or their parents, but the invitation was sent out. Mary was invited there, the Lord was invited there, and his disciples. What a wonderful group of guests. May I suggest this, that if any two people are being married today, and they have this common attachment and love for the Lord, their marriage will be blessed. Their life will be blessed. And they'll continue going on with the blessing of the Lord surrounding them. I would say this, to all those today who are contemplating marriage, if they should be listening to my voice now, make sure that when you enter into this estate, that you do so in accordance with the word and the will of God. Do not violate the principles laid down in the Holy Scriptures. But when you're about to be married, make sure that you can bend the knee and commit your way unto the Lord, and seek his blessing upon the union. More than that, I would say this to any who are listening to me at this time, and it may be, my friend, that you are having difficulties in the domestic sphere. May I suggest to you that when the difficulties arise, it is good if both the partners, the husband and the wife together, can bow the heart and bend the knee and pour out their heart to the Lord, and tell the Lord of difficulty, and leave him to give the answer to the problem. The reason why so many homes today are being disrupted, the reason why there is discord in the family circle, is perhaps because the Lord has been turned out. He is not being acknowledged as Lord of the home. Remember, while the husband is still the head of the wife, the scriptures teach this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the man. So therefore, if the head of the house is willing to submit to the principles and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be easy for his wife to submit to him and to these things also, and thus the blessing of the Lord rests upon them. But now, here the Lord Jesus Christ is invited to be a guest on this particular day at this marriage in Cana of Galilee. I think it's a wonderful thing that John, in writing this gospel, where he is going to outline to us certain miracles that Christ performed during his public ministry. There are seven of them prior to the cross, and then, of course, he adds an eighth one in connection with the post-resurrection ministry. But this first miracle that John records here was performed in Cana of Galilee, which, of course, was a despised area in that land, despised by those who lived down in Judah. In fact, they spoke of it as Canaan of the Gentiles. However, here's a little town nestling away up there in Galilee, and there was a wedding taking place. And the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and John makes a special record of this, that the first of his miracles was performed on the day of a wedding. That is, it's in the social circle, in the family circle, in the domestic circle. Right there, the Lord Jesus Christ came in and met the need. Now, having looked then a little at the meaning of the divine institution, remembering that marriage originated in Eden in the days of man's innocency and was blessed by God. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is present at a marriage. But something had gone wrong there that day, even on the first day of this new union, because it says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine." Now remember this, wine in the Word of God was always indicative of joy. It was a kind of national beverage in that day in Palestine. And yet the very thing that spoke of joy had gone out on the very day of their marriage. Here was the difficulty they faced at the marriage feast. No wine. So that which speaks of joy had already run out. Isn't it strange when we turn round and we begin to think of things today, and we see things at the present time, we discover this, that men try all kinds of ideas in order to create the spirit of joy. They'll try every possible gimmick to make people happy. Yet you look around you today, there are so many faces that are sad. There are so many people who are sad. In spite of all the material things that we have, in spite of all the things that people possess, they don't seem to have the joy that they should have. They don't seem to have the joy that they could have. Somehow or another, they have no wine, no joy. But now they receive directions. At this point, I should say that the message given by Mary was a very important one. His mother, that is Mary, said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." Now, may I take that verse today and apply it to all our hearts? If you are in trouble, my friend, if there is domestic trouble where you are, then I suggest here is the answer to your problem. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Now, I remind you of that old axiom, things that are equal to the same thing are equal to one another. If a man listens to what the Lord has to say, and when he hears the Lord's message, he's willing to submit to it and do it, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And if his partner in life listens to what the Lord has to say, and she says, "Now, whatsoever he says unto me, I'm willing to do it," and here you find a man and his wife, both of them willing to take the directions from the Lord, the Lord will not lead them in opposite directions. He will lead them right in the same way and into the joy of the Lord and the joy of the salvation He provides. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Now then, that comes home to all our hearts in a variety of ways. Is it possible I'm speaking to someone today who doesn't understand the way of salvation? You're so confused. You've listened to so many voices of men. Men who are propounding the ideas of their own particular group or their own particular cult. And you've listened to these men, and because they quote something from the Bible, you think, well, they must understand what they're saying. No, my friend, listen. What you've got to do is to turn your ear to the word of the Lord. I pointed out to you in previous studies that John the Baptist, who was the greatest of the prophets, pointed men and women away from himself, and he pointed them to the Lord, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I want you to notice right here in chapter 2, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, never told people to look to her. She never told people to ask her for anything. She directed them away from herself. She directed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, "Whatsoever He says unto you, do it." Now, that message is still relevant today. I care not, my friend, what your difficulty is. If your difficulty is trying to understand the way of salvation, then I say, "Whatsoever He says unto you, do it." If your difficulty is that you're saved but you're not enjoying your salvation, then "whatsoever He says unto you, do it." If you're in the domestic sphere and things are not going well, "whatsoever He says unto you, do it." Read the Word. And when the Word makes it plain, be obedient to the Word. Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Not only were they faced with a difficulty, but here we find then the directions they received from the Lord. He says, "Fill the water pots with water." Note, the pots were made of stone, that which was earthenware, but they were simply to fill these pots with water. Then notice the delight they experienced when they obeyed the divine directions. See, what the Lord provided was superior, and it was sufficient to meet the needs. It was superior to anything that man had provided, and it was sufficient to meet the needs. You see, my friend, what men had provided was inferior, and what men had provided was insufficient. But when they obeyed the Lord, did what He told them to do, they found that His provision was superior to the provision of men, and His provision was sufficient to meet the needs of all men. Now I tell you this, if you will be obedient to the word of the Lord, whatsoever He said unto you, do it, then remember, what you will receive from the Lord will be superior to anything that man could provide, and it will be sufficient to meet your needs. He was the manifestation of the divine distinction. This first sign by Christ stands in contrast to the first sign given by Moses. You remember way back in the Old Testament, Moses went in before Pharaoh. Moses was going to give signs down in Egypt. Moses turned water into blood. Remember, blood is a sign of judgment. It was a sign of judgment upon Egypt. That's what the law does. The law brings judgment. But Christ turned water into wine, bringing joy on the wedding day. Ah, that's what we need. We need to start off life with the joy of the Lord. Christ turned water into wine, bringing joy on that wedding day. This first sign manifested His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. He was now marked out as being distinct in His power and in His personality. Now then, someone may be saying, "What has all this got to do with me living in the 20th century? Well, remember this, my friend. The Bible is still up to date. And John at the end of chapter 20 tells us this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now, if these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then here is the first of these miracles mentioned by John. It starts again, I remind you, when there was the beginning of a new home, a young couple just setting out in life. And this is written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. I ask you in all fairness, my friend, have you believed on Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Have you ever exercised faith in Christ? And do you have possession of this eternal life? Now, I question lots of people from time to time on this very matter. I have people who come to me the same as they come to you, and they tell you they want to share with you some little Bible meditation. And they begin to put over to me some of the ideas of the particular group or cult to which they belong. My question to them is this, do you have eternal life? Very few of them will say yes. Some of them hope that one day they may come into possession of it. Others think if they work hard enough at the religion, God may accept them. Listen, my friend, that will not do. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's something that many of the people today who only have religion will deny. Many of the cults today deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is, he is the Messiah, and he is the eternal Son of the eternal God. And when one comes to that point, and they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then by believing, by trusting him, ye have life through his name. Oh, my friend, listen, it is relevant. And this message in the opening section of John chapter 2 comes right within the door of the home. It brings us right face to face with daily issues. It challenges us. Do we have the joy of the Lord? Do we understand our relationship to Christ? Look, my friend, if your joy has run out, he says, fill the water pots with water, fill them up. He makes the great transformation, and this transformation met their need. Christ can transform your life. It sets him forth as being the Son of God. Maybe I'm speaking to someone today who is a Christian. My friend, you've lost the joy of your salvation because you've drifted away from the Lord. It may be you were disobedient in some particular way. Why don't you get down on your knees right now where you are? Why don't you just bow your heart and ask the Lord to forgive you? Why don't you get matters put right with God? Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, he tells you how. Oh, come to Christ who shed his blood, and at the cross get right with God.